Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
If you're curious about incorporating more plant-based milks, as they're known, into your diet, but you don't know where to start, we're going to get some help now. I'm joined by registered dietitian Sarah Keogh. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thanks, Brendan.
You and your common sense. You see, your common sense in the old style of common, you know, common sense is a bad name now among political people, but you're the kind of common sense our mammies told us to have. So before we talk about the alternatives, we talk about the old fashioned cow's milk. Is it good for us?
Totally fine. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm coming up on 30 years working as a dietitian, and I love, you go anywhere and someone goes, oh, you know, I've got tinnitus, and somebody pops up and goes, cut out wheat and dairy. And then they go, you know, I've male pattern balding, and like, cut out wheat and dairy. And it just seems to be this rolling thing. Dairy's totally fine. You know, it's actually really good, nutritious food. It does split a little bit into sort of, you have your sort of milk and yogurt, and then you've got your sort of cream and butter. And from a cholesterol point of view, cream and butter are not fantastic if you do have high cholesterol. But things like your milk and yogurt, they're just really great nutrition in terms of calcium and iodine and B vitamins and protein, and they're just fantastic. So, you know, unless you have an allergy or something like that, they're absolutely fine to keep taking.
Okay, because there are, you know, these people argue, well, we're not designed to drink another mammal's milk or whatever.
How we're not cow's designed to eat any food. You know, the funny thing is the animal adapts to the food. The food doesn't adapt to an animal. Do you know what I mean? Broccoli wasn't designed for humans. You know, we adapt to it. So, you know, it's...
Well, some of us adapt to it. Well, most of us. You try to get a kid to adapt to broccoli. It's a many years
it's
process.
Going on it.
Yeah. You mentioned iodine there. You never hear people talking about iodine.
No,
do we need iodine? Yeah?
We definitely need iodine. It's one of those really, really important nutrients that hasn't sort of made it onto the big supplement list, or hasn't had, you know, a big influencer take it over. But it's a really key nutrient, and it's very important for your thyroid. So your thyroid makes a hormone called thyroxine, and that controls your entire metabolism. So your energy levels, your hair growth, your bowel, your digestion, everything. It's a really key nutrient. And we need iodine to make this hormone. So if you don't have enough iodine coming in, you can't make it. Iodine is also incredibly important for brain development during pregnancy. So if there isn't enough iodine during... The brain of the baby, yes. Yeah. So the baby can actually end up with a severe learning disability if they don't have enough iodine during pregnancy.
So where else do we get it?
Well, really, we get it in milk in Ireland. That's where the vast majority of it comes from. You will pick up some iodine in whitefish, so cod, haddock, those kind of things, and you'll get some in seaweed as well. But we're not big seaweed eaters in Ireland, and we're actually not big fish eaters either. So we know when we do studies, and there's been some fantastic studies in Ireland looking at this, that people who are not consuming dairy are very, very low in their iodine, not far off zero really with it.
Okay. So a lot, we're getting better at the seaweed, aren't we? And a lot of people doing like crispy
things. Coming into a few things. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's such a nutritious
sprinkling
food.
Sprinkling it over stuff and everything. Yeah. So then some people will say they genuinely don't tolerate dairy very well.
Yeah.
How do I know if I'm lactose intolerant?
So there's two things with dairy. You can have a milk allergy, which is an allergy to the protein in the dairy, or you can be sensitive to the lactose, which is the natural sugar in the dairy. So lactose, totally natural sugar. It's there in kind of particularly in milk, for example. And if about 10% of people in Ireland will be what we call lactose intolerant. So it's different to an allergy because you can tolerate a bit of it. But if you take too much, what can happen is the bacteria in your gut make a lot of gas out of it. So you get bloating. You will get vast amounts of gas coming out, and you may or may not get diarrhea with it. So it's pretty standard. You'll spot it quite quickly with it. Basically, what you're always going to do with bloating, though, is you're going to go to your GP. You don't self-diagnose.
Really?
Yeah. Now, there isn't a test as such for lactose intolerance. You can do a breath test. Generally, what you do is you'd see a dietitian and we take you through an elimination with it. But you rule out other things. So bloating, for example, you know, most of the time it's totally benign. It's something like lactose intolerance. But if you have bloating that does not go away in women, it can be an early sign of ovarian cancer. So you always, always, always get your bloating checked out before you do anything else. But lactose intolerant is just brilliant. There's lactose-free milk you can use. Cheese, milk and cream are totally fine on a lactose-free diet because they have very little lactose
really?
In them. Yogurt sits in the middle. So the tolerance there comes in. Some people can tolerate a bit more yogurt, some people can't. And that's kind of where it goes.
Okay, so that's one reason why people might seek out alternative milks.
Yeah.
Another is environmental reasons.
Can be a reason as well. And I think we are really just getting to know the impact of different foods on environment and sustainability and all the rest. And I think there's so many different things to look at with it. I'm nervous about how many foods we're sort of saying we have to stop eating, you know, meat, and we have to stop eating dairy and all of those things. And we absolutely have to look at that. But I think we don't always look at the nutrition, the replacements for them. You know, I'd often see someone going, oh, well, you know, avocados are less, you know, carbon dioxide to produce than beef. And you're like, yeah, but how many avocados have you got to eat to match the protein? So what we're starting to see in sustainability now is they're starting to match the nutrients and not just the carbon dioxide production. In saying that, we still need to look at it. But there's other ways. If we're thinking about food and sustainability, we don't have to compromise our nutrition for that. And two really important places I would take a look at always is start looking at food waste. Like, if food waste was a country, it would be the third biggest producer of carbon dioxide in the world.
Wow.
So
okay.
Straight away, check what you're eating, plan what you're buying, stop throwing away food. And the second thing, if you were going to start taking foods out of your diet from a sustainability point of view, look at the treat foods, because they're not giving you any nutrition and they do generate huge amounts of carbon dioxide. Unfortunately, I don't ban them. Treat foods are nice.
I don't want to hear that. But yeah, okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, so there's a bewildering array of these non-dairy milks mm-hmm. in the supermarket. So we try and give people some guidance. Should we even call them milk? Are they milk?
Oh, well, I think people use the word milk. I mean, technically they're not. I suppose the technical term is plant-based milk alternatives, but people just call them milk, and I think they're familiar as that being the way that they're called. So
okay, so you're looking along this bewildering array of nut milk, soy milk, seed milks. How do you know what's good or bad or whatever?
Well, basically what you're looking for is if you're going to take dairy out of your diet for whatever reason, if you're allergic to it, lactose intolerant, vegan, whatever, you know, there's lots of reasons people do, make sure you're replacing the calcium. That's the big one. So when you look at the plant milks, check the label for calcium being added, because they don't naturally have a whole lot of calcium in them. Now, these days, most of them do have calcium added, so you're generally pretty good, but just double check that for yourself. The mistake I see lots of people make is thinking that they're going to get their calcium from green vegetables. And just so people know, it's 25 servings of broccoli a day or 120 bags of spinach a day to get your calcium. So please don't be relying on green vegetables.
Okay, so are we getting most of our, so not just our iodine, are we getting most of our calcium from dairy as well?
Now, you'll get bits of calcium in other foods, and you do, you know, there's a little bit in almonds, there's a little bit in sesame seeds. But when we look at the amounts people have to eat, you know, you have to think of them as a top up to your main calcium source, which is either going to be your dairy or it's going to be, you know, a calcium fortified plant milk with that.
Okay, so you want to look for calcium fortified. Mm-hmm. Any other differentiation between soya and nut seed?
Yeah, milk? I mean, we'd look at protein levels as well, because dairy does contribute a good bit of your protein, and soy milk would be pretty close to dairy for the protein. So particularly if children are coming off dairy for some reason, we would generally lean towards the soy milk, because kids need that protein for growth. And as adults, we still need that protein for muscle and bone health. Milks like rice, oat, coconut milk, they can have the calcium added, but they're usually lower in protein. So again, it's more just keeping an eye on the overall balance of nutrition, because we tend to think of dairy as just calcium, but it is protein, it is vitamin B12, it is iodine as well, you know.
Okay, and you're not getting your iodine generally in the...
The plant-based milks don't naturally have a whole lot of iodine in them, but I do see some of the manufacturers are starting to add it. So it's another thing just to check on the label. Some of them do bring it in because they're recognising it as a gap. So we are seeing, and a lot of them do add the vitamin B12 there as well. So they're often in them. So it's just double checking the labels.
Okay. Someone here says, can you ask Sarah about consuming milk, kefir and yogurt if you're lactose intolerant? So you're saying milk, no. So, yogurt in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
Kefir?
A little bit in the middle as well. So what happens is when you take the milk and you do any fermentation with it, it reduces the lactose. So it will have some. So it's a little bit of tolerance. But what you can do with the milk is use lactose-free milk, which is widely available at the moment. And it's just been a game changer for people with lactose intolerance, because it just makes it easier.
I'm reading between the lines here now. Mm-hmm. And are you saying that there should be no need for most people, unless they want for a personal preference?
Yeah.
There's no need to go to plant-based.
There's no particular need to do it. Obviously, if somebody wants to, or they have that dairy allergy or stuff like that, it's fantastic to have the alternative.
Okay, but dairy allergy is a tiny, tiny part of the population.
It's a small, the more kids would have it, but it's unusual for adults to have it, yeah.
So, Camir, you were saying we could be past kind of peak plant-based milk anyway, because do you work for food companies like looking at trends in eating? And like, there's obviously a hardcore of veganism since the 60s or whatever, and there are people, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
But it obviously has become much more fashionable in recent times.
It has.
And are we past peak?
I think so. It's one of those things, like you will have people who are following various different, like someone who's, you know, celiac, for example, is on a gluten-free diet. As you said, there's a lot of people choose a vegan lifestyle for many, many reasons, ethical right the way through. But we did see a big trend with vegan being sort of a fashionable trend for a good while. I do see that starting to fall away for sure, in the same way that we had a huge trend for gluten-free for a few years, which fell away as well.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next big thing?
I can put my money on it. I don't know.
Come on,
I haven't.
You'd be wanting to buy shares in their food company.
I know, but
is.
But like that, you're starting to see the variety in vegan products falling away. And I think this was the first year there was no Veganuary all over the place this year. So, you know, things come in a trend and they come and go. So I see that sort of falling away. In saying that, a lot of people have swapped onto the plant-based milks, perfectly happy on them. And as I said, if you're just checking that nutrition, there's no issue with actually using them.
Okay, registered dietitian Sarah Keogh, thank you very much as always.